Would you turn your face this way, please? So we are going to begin this morning with the guided imagery. So you're welcome to get in whatever guided imagery position you would like for this morning. And once you find that position, begin to settle in, closing your eyes. Maybe starting with a few deep breaths. Allow yourself to really settle in. Taking a moment to check in with your body this morning. Perhaps allowing a nice deep exhalation to allow you to let go any tensions that might be present in the body. And then checking in for a moment with your emotions. Noticing what feelings might be present. Just allowing that to be there. And then turning your attention to the mind. Again, just noticing the state of the mind. Not needing to change it or do anything about it, but simply noticing. And then if you would, allow to arise an image of a blank screen. It could be any kind of screen, perhaps large, like in a large movie theater. It might be small. Just some kind of blank screen where an image could be projected. Allow yourself to see the screen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you a few questions. And with each question, allow to arise an image projected onto the screen as a response to that question. So for the first question, where are you now in your facilitation practice? Where are you now in your facilitation practice? See if you can just allow an image to arise on that blank screen. Perhaps it takes a moment to just be with the screen without needing to put anything there, but just simply allowing whatever image wants to arise in response to the question, where are you now in your facilitation practice? if you would let that image go, allowing the screen to be blank once again. And then for the next one, allow an image to arise responding to, where are you going? In regards to your facilitation practice, where are you going? Again, just allowing the image to present itself on your screen. In response to, where are you going? And now, if you would let that image go, the screen once again blank. And consider next, what limits you as a facilitator? What holds you back? Keeps you stuck? Gets in your way as a facilitator? Notice what image arises in response to that. What limits you as a facilitator? Now, letting that image go, returning to the blank screen, and next, what do you need to let go of in order to get where you are going? Allowing an image to arise in response to, what do you need to let go of in order to get where you are going? Letting that image go, returning to your blank screen. Beginning to bring your attention back to your breath. Letting the image, even of the screen, go. Perhaps deepening the breath, begin to bring your attention back into the room. Wiggling your fingertips and your toes. And when you feel ready, at the bottom of an exhalation, please open your eyes. And so if people would take notes about what you saw on that and or draw, Amy's going to get some crayons for us, in case that would be helpful. There's also blank paper if you don't want to do your drawing in your line journal.
Would you just review those questions?
Sure. Yep. So the first one was, where are you now in your facilitation practice? Where are you now in your facilitation practice? The next one was, where are you going? In regards to your facilitation practice, where are you going? The third one was, what limits you as a facilitator? What limits you? Another way to think about that is holds you back, keeps you stuck, gets in your way as a facilitator. And the last one was, what do you need to let go of in order to get where you are going? What do you need to let go of in order to get where you are going? There are lots of meditation benches up here. People want to use those as desks. And there's also boards in the middle. Thank you. Would another couple of minutes be enough for people? All right, so what we're going to do next is some facilitation practice. And we're going to use what we saw in the imagery to do that. So we're going to break up into four groups of six. And what we'll do is we'll do kind of a, I suppose it's like a round robin, where everyone has a chance to share what they saw and everyone has a chance to facilitate. And if you're the facilitator, what you'll be doing is facilitating where you are as a facilitator. So for some of us, that's going to be strict reflective listening. Just, you know, that's where you are in your facilitation. So for folks who, you know, are not leading a sitting group yet, or leading even a key group, I should say, or you're brand new to it, then you'll be facilitating at that level. There are a lot of people in the room who've been facilitating for quite some time, and so you're already branched out into other ways of facilitating. So, you know, folks probably have a sense of where they are in that, and you may not. So that may be part of the practice opportunity. But so you'll be facilitating in wherever you are as a facilitator. Does that make sense to folks?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's see. So when you get into your groups, you'll, you know, it might be easiest to just go around in a circle. So decide who wants to share first, and then maybe have someone who's somewhat across the circle from that person be the facilitator, and then go around like that. We'll have 5 minutes for each person, and a bell will ring in between so that you know. Penny?
Do we facilitate all the questions or one at a time?
It completely depends on the person. So it would be like, essentially what we're doing is, instead of me sitting up here and saying, what'd you notice, we're having four separate groups of that, what'd you notice. And so the person who's sharing will bring whatever it is from the imagery that they saw, and as a facilitator, I just simply facilitate whatever they're seeing. Ramita.
So as a facilitator, I facilitate one group member.
That's exactly right, yep. And then it will go to the next group member, and the next facilitator across from them will facilitate, and so on. So until everyone has had a chance to share, and everyone has had a chance to facilitate. Alrighty, so let's count off by fours. And Melinda, Dave, and Alex, if you would stay out of the count, I think that will work. So why don't we start with Marie?
One, two,
three,
four,
one, two,
three, four,
one.
And you'd be two.
Two.
Yep.
Three.
Four.
One.
Two.
Three.
Four.
One.
Two.
Three.
Okay, so why don't we just do one, two, three, four.
Yes.
All right, so when you've established the first person you can share, that pretty much takes care of that. Chance to look at what came up for folks in the imagery, so we thought we'd take some time to look at what came up in the facilitation. What you noticed as you were facilitating, Anita?
I noticed that I've had a different experience in my group when there was one person present or a group present.
In your group at home, your
right.
Key group.
Uh-huh. Right. And when there's a group present, there's the performer who gets engaged. Mm. And that came up as I was sharing here.
As you were sharing, not as you were facilitating.
Right, as sharing. I was sharing, I was talking about the performer as one of the responses to the imagery questions.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then I, in facilitating, I was... It actually seemed like the rest of the group sort of fell away, and I was focused on the person. And I realized, or I guess it's a question, we only really facilitate one person at a time. We don't facilitate a group.
Mm-hmm.
We're really one-to-one, a series of one-to-one conversations, which has a whole different effect somehow in my condition.
Yeah. Gosh, there are just so many things that you do. We should already get a little whiteboard out here. You know, it's one of those in a comp. Good. Okay, Dave's got his little taking notes because there's so many things you just pointed at in that. So it sounds like for you, you notice a difference when you're facilitating, when there's just one person that shows up on a given night versus a group, and that there's a sense that sometimes when there's a group that a performer kind of shows up to be on the cushion. And yet, in the experience you just had, what you realized was there's a way in which your attention is just with that one conversation. It's sort of like what we're practicing all the time, isn't it? That to have our complete life, kind of a secret to that, if you will, is that our attention is always completely on whatever it's on. It's not on everything else. I mean, the other thing that's interesting in what you brought up that might be beyond the scope of what we want to look at right this minute, but as my attention is right there with that one person that I'm facilitating, can my awareness be large enough to have the whole group in there?
Yes, and that's I guess where the question, you know, how much attention goes one versus larger, and I think that's where the ideas of group energy and energy start.
Yes, exactly. Right. Yeah, and how exactly as you say that if I were to go up to here to look for an answer to that, that would, of course, create a performer. You know, someone who would, I mean, we would each do whatever we do with that in our system. You know, I either get self-conscious or I get excited or I get, you know, whatever I get. But can there be a way in which I'm aware that this conversation is part of a larger context, but my attention is really here with that one conversation? That's such a great topic. Thank you. Michael.
I had a big panic that I would not survive that experience. And it was really fascinating to, I'm still here.
Yes, you are.
And it was like right for me, kind of in my throat.
Yeah,
and it's really helpful to see that and to go through that again and again.
Yeah.
And actually, so part of me feels like I did a really good job facilitating even amidst all of that.
Yes.
And to know that that's possible, that everything can kind of be going on all the time.
Yeah, that's really, you know, what just passed through for me was how Sherry will talk about realizing at some point that she could do everything she needed to do, even in deep depression.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's what occurs to me that, you know, so there's that So, I mean, I think probably everyone in the room has that experience of like, oh God, you know, I'm on stage here, you know, I'm nervous, I'm gonna panic, I'm not gonna get through this. And yet to see that can be there and I can still just go ahead and do the thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great.
I don't even have to get rid of that. I don't have to, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. feel some other way. It's completely okay for that to be there.
Mm-hmm. And it really had a flavor of kind of coming in and then going. Mm-hmm. You know, even though the story is it's going to stay there forever, but
right.
It's like I could feel it come and then, mm-hmm. and then go.
Yeah, feel it come and then go, mm-hmm. even though the story said it's going to be there forever.
Yeah, and also, this came up on one of the calls a while ago, about reflecting or paying attention, you know, when there's a lot of kind of static or right. toxic condition. Mm-hmm. And that if I just go to my breath, and just pay attention to my breath, that somehow it's kind of counterintuitive. But right. if I pay attention to that, I'm not going to be able to listen. But it's right. not my experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That I'll get whatever I get from the listening, and actually usually much more than
yes.
than otherwise.
Yeah. It's kind of that same, along the same lines of that last koan we were just looking at. That so I've got my attention. Basically what you're saying is you've got your attention on the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that when that's the case, you're there, and so you're able to reflect what's there in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Versus, as you say, it's counterintuitive, because what conditioning wants us to do is to go up here and try to track the conversation.
Yes.
And my attention then isn't in the present moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it does, it's a huge leap of faith, isn't it?
Yeah.
to do that. Catherine?
I had a similar experience. I was very nervous, and I was aware of conditioning, constantly judging. Mm-hmm. Well, she didn't say that word. That was your word, and just, you're not doing it right. And just
and in that language, she didn't say you didn't use that.
Right. Uh-huh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, having this experience of feeling very connected mm-hmm. and enjoying what the person was saying, mm-hmm. and enjoying some part of me enjoying being able to reflect it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So. It seemed there were several things going on, and I was aware when I wasn't either reflecting or sharing that conditioning wanted to judge everybody's performance
mm-hmm.
and measure me accordingly. Mm-hmm. Of course, guess who was the worst? in the first place, everybody did fine.
Yes.
You know, there's no worst here. There's
right.
no
yeah.
what. We're not here to.
Yes.
This isn't a contest,
right.
you know.
Yeah.
And but conditioning always makes it a contest.
Of course, because if it's not a contest, then it can't compare you.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And something was the Daily Peace Club today just spoke to me. So follow the practice as it meanders, and just so moving for me because I've been thinking lately about what a prison I am. Mm-hmm. with my stories
mm-hmm.
and yes. this whole facility. I came to this retreat to deepen my practice
mm-hmm.
and there's this whole story about how I will not survive this retreat, I will have to leave, I will not be able to do this
mm-hmm.
and there's this whole story that's mm-hmm. trying to get me to have a miserable time
yes.
here and not learn anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it just being able to just, you know, just let it, whatever it
just
is,
let it do
whatever,
what it does.
Whatever you're seeing here is
yeah.
perfect.
Yeah.
Whatever experience you have,
yep.
if you can't remember anything anybody
that's right.
says,
that's
a perfect experience.
Exactly.
If you use all the wrong words and they don't say anything like that.
What you get is, at the end of it, you will have survived that. The worst happened, I survived it. So now what are you going to hold against me?
Right, exactly. And I'm sitting here with these five amazingly wonderful people.
Yes.
You know, just, I mean, so they're going to be mad at me if I use the wrong word. You know,
no lunch for Catherine.
No lunch. Extra outhouse duty for Catherine. Yeah, it's like who's here is going to condemn me?
Yes.
Conditioning.
Exactly. Conditioning. Yeah.
yeah.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Thank you. I guess it's only the seven of them. I feel like I'm favoring them, but they're Marie.
I'm just trying not to disappear, so I wanted to talk. you know, my conditioning, or whatever, I'm going to call it mine, just the conditioning of lighting on me. It's the conditioning I'm willing to be in relationship.
Which is a interesting way
helpful to see it. It's actually been helpful so far to see it that way.
Yeah.
Because it's like terror if I mean, I love this practice and I'm willing to, you know, I'm going to go on a retreat and I'm going to be devoted to it for years, but if I have to facilitate it at the monastery, it's over. I'm going to drink poison or something. It's like, I don't know, it just, some part of me gets so in relationship with that, and, you know, so.
And I'm the only one. Retreat. And yet signs up for this retreat.
Yeah, goes to every facilitation thing. And does a lot of other facilitation things. And, you know, so the other thing is I'm definitely the only person with anything like this going on. Because so many people keep sharing, and I'm going, God, you know, I've just been in this world. You're the only one.
And imagine if we all did, you know, you said you keep talking so that you don't disappear.
Yeah.
If we all disappeared with that, then for every one of us that would stay in place because we have no idea that that exact same thing is happening for everyone in the room.
Yeah.
We quietly all just keep it to ourselves and then no one knows.
Yeah, the other thing about it is it's not funny at all when I'm just in a relationship with, like, it's funny now.
Right.
But it's not
funny.
Not
at all
very
funny. It's very serious and real and true.
Yeah, so. You know, so anyway, what I'm trying to let go of is just giving so much power to that conditioning I get in relationship with. Because I'm going to quit calling it my conditioning. and to just let the person who loves facilitation be here.
Yeah.
I mean, just, is there any way she could get to come?
Where were we just talking? We've been talking about that. I think it's on the radio show. I don't think it was just at the monastery, but that place of, oh yeah, it was on the radio show. Really creating a space for this person. You know, so there's someone who really enjoys facilitation, wants to learn, you know, all of it, whatever. So can we create a space for her? Can she be here?
Yeah, yeah. So just trying, you know, different things to see if that person could show up. And she kind of showed up, you know. And it's because, you know, it wasn't so much about how well I facilitated. It was just that I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
You know, I was happy to do it, and the time went just like that, and the bell rang, and it was like, shoot. And I wanted to say that out loud because this will get totally erased from my memory.
This does
not plug into the story at all.
Right.
And so I know I'll just like totally pretend like it didn't happen.
Yeah, that's right. So what is it? November 2nd, I enjoyed facilitating at the monastery.
Your race. So that's why I didn't just say it out loud, because it was, you know, I was surprised that I actually enjoyed it, because I've been told that will never happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Well, the thing I was noticing this morning is that actually facilitating someone has become one of the greater places of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I'm having to be present for that other person, I'm present. And when I'm not having to be present for someone else, I often don't give myself that same consideration. I don't believe I have to be present for myself in the same way that I have to be present for other people. So then I have to sit around and listen to all those voices, and it's not peaceful.
It's not peaceful.
But when I can't listen to those other voices because I need to be here, it's very peaceful.
Yeah.
It's very peaceful.
Yeah.
It's in fact, it's one of, you know, the few times of actual rest.
Wow, that's really well said. It reminds me of one of the things that I think a few people sent in as a possible agenda item for the week, which is considering that possibility that we could be facilitating all the time.
Right. Yeah.
You know, whether I'm sitting on the cushion in front of a group, or it's just me and me walking around.
You know, I don't really have any sense of where facilitation as a thing goes for me, but it's a skill that I want to learn, because wherever, even if it doesn't go anywhere public, it goes somewhere with this person.
Yes.
So even if, you know, even if all I ever do for the rest of my life is facilitate me, that's reason enough to be here.
That's everything. Yeah. That's everything.
Yeah.
I suspect that's why we talk so much in this practice about, you know, in that movement of being the mentor, of facilitating, that's really the movement that we're practicing. And it's a wonderful side benefit that other folks get taken care of in that. You know, let's say look at it internally, that there are all these little parts of me who get taken care of in that. But that really is the side benefit. You know, the transformation is in becoming that which can care for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it calls us to presence.
Yeah. Yeah.
Alex.
Yeah, something about that just sparked something else inside, which was that I'm moving. When we were doing a little group, I had the feeling of moving from those two different places, like moving from the person who had. It's funny to talk about this, but someone had the issue. Or the concern, or the the little person. You know, I really felt like I was shifting. You know, shifting places.
Between, are you saying like when you shared?
When I shared versus when I facilitated.
Yeah.
Because when I facilitated, it was like that mental place. It was like seeing something larger. There was nothing wrong with this. It was very fascinating how that all happened and how that played out.
That's why the two chairs are so good. Right?
Yeah, totally. Because. They're both there. They're both, they go together.
They go together. Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. And practicing that movement creates it as a choice in my life instead of just as something. Sometimes it's this and sometimes it's this.
Exactly.
I don't know why how that happens.
Rather than, you know, falling into a victim place. That's what I noticed when I first started facilitating is that. I no longer had the luxury of walking around with the issue any longer.
Yeah.
Do you know, like if I facilitate all the time, I'm in a place of, well, you know, none of that.
It reminds me of, you know, sort of day six of a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat. You know, we're in there facilitating and then, you know, going to bed at night and there's something, it's like, no, wait a minute.
I spent the entire
day. All day. You can't get away with that. And then how am I? So I can't get away with it either.
Exactly, right. It puts me in a role in which I am in a place where I can see that.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so threatening about the whole thing. I think that's why it kicks up so much around this particular thing, is because we're not supposed to be, by its standards, in the place that we are in when we're facilitating, which is in a place where we can see the big picture, where we are the mentor, where we're compassionate, where we're just being present.
Yeah, doing everything to try to get us out of that
just state. To elbow us out. Yes, to back into the other place with no resource. You know, it's almost like it wants to play that mentoring role in its way, anti-mentoring.
Yes, exactly. Well, it's what's happening in the voices right now. Getting them off the cushion. Get them off that cushion.
Exactly.
You got to the cushion, get them off.
Get them off at all costs.
And
it's just so heroic to continually continue. To do that over and over and over again.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like anytime it wants to come back in again with its opinions, that's what's going on.
Yes.
That's all it's trying
to
do.
That's all it is, just trying to pull the attention.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Thanks.
Lori. So much already. That's going on. One of my fears was that I'd have to facilitate, you know, here in front of everybody. I thought it would be like, I have to sit up there. That's going to be the big test or something. I don't know. But we started these small groups, and it was really, it just seemed to go so well. Mm-hmm. I mean, that is the part that I'm so grateful for, that just being able to be there. There's like, I experience some humility that comes to me in doing this and facilitating and being facilitated, and so really glad to have the smaller group together. And something came up that wasn't brought up by me in the group that has to do though with a place that's very challenging for me in my work as a therapist and then as a facilitator, and sort of like how they seem to be in some ways different. You know, I get into this role of now a therapist, and this is the way I talk to people, and these are things that happen. Mm-hmm. When I'm a facilitator, now I'm supposed to do something different, and what am I supposed to do? And I guess so, somehow. And what I've noticed, actually, in doing more facilitation back at home is that that's actually coming more into my role as a therapist.
Well, that, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a surprising thing. And so instead of having this sense of like, now I got to do this thing for that person, or right. Oh, how can I be, you know, creative and helpful? And it's more, I'm just kind of moving into the role of facilitator.
Yeah, because if I'm following what you're saying, as I learn more, in respect to what we're looking at with Mickey, as I become more and more in that way of being a facilitating, then in a way that's who I am. I'm a facilitator. I'm a facilitator at the grocery store, when I'm at the checkout counter. I'm in the sense that I'm just being present to what is. So of course, in your work, you would bring that into, you know, that would be a way of being in your work.
It is, and it just seems that as I'm doing that, then there is a real flow in the work itself. And mm-hmm. so I'm interested in like how to, when I sit in front of the group and at my group and I'm facilitating, I can get so nervous. Mm-hmm. I can just get so,
yeah.
It's really different because I'm not nervous when I'm working even with a group at work or with mm-hmm. my clients. It's just, I don't particularly get nervous.
Yeah.
And so that's really sort of what I'm looking at, how to be able to just to trust that yeah. facilitation goes on.
Right.
And it's not like, okay, now we're going to do the facilitation and all that stuff.
Yeah, that seems like another fun one for at some point in the week. That came up in our little group also, that that bizarre distinction between, for me, I was talking about it as being comfortable sitting on the cushion facilitating, but then somehow standing up in public speaking. Well, that's a whole different thing, you know, and that great. Yeah. So what are all the beliefs and what's yeah. happening behind the scenes to create yeah. those as two completely different situations?
Yeah.
That somehow in the one, you know, it's like this, and the other is just comfortable.
Yeah, I'm very interested in that, to see mm-hmm. that yeah. conditioning that comes to me that has, like, a lot to say about it.
Yeah. Thank you. We have time for about one more. Any burning things that we want to look at before we... I mean, we'll have... This topic is the topic, so there'll be lots and lots of space. But Rebecca,
yeah, well,
sure.
One thing I loved about this exercise was the part where you said, "Do whatever at whatever level you are."
Yeah.
That seemed to open, give me kind of this permission to experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked a drawing out question, and you know, and what I noticed about that, it was very fun for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And what I noticed was this, I don't know, this faith that I just have down to my bones, mm-hmm. that if there's something I do, quote, wrong, mm-hmm. life will show that
yep.
to me.
Yep.
And it's so good to get to practice that every now and then, because
yeah.
where I go, you know, instead of looking to conditioning to mm-hmm. show me where I do wrong,
right.
I can just trust yeah. that there are plenty of guidelines that life puts out
yeah.
there where
so
I will see that.
And
so then life becomes sort of like a playground
yes.
instead of a prison,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just the best
yeah.
to find that place and to practice yeah. being there.
Yeah, it really is. And what would you say allows you to be able to kind of, because you're describing a fairly... I'm projecting kind of a relaxed sense of that.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, life's going to give me the information, and that's great. And,
yeah, yeah.
And what would you say allows you to kind of relax into that?
Well, the first word that just came up was just experience. You
yeah.
know, it's
yeah.
having, as we talked about it one other time, having been hit by the two by four
mm-hmm.
or a 4x8
right.
or a 12x24. And kind of this, and not only surviving it, but being
yeah.
really grateful
yes.
for that.
Yeah.
If I hadn't
yeah.
had that experience,
yeah.
then I don't know that I could
yeah.
relax into it.
Yeah, that's exactly what was coming up for me, was kind of a, mm-hmm. over time, seeing that that happens again and again, and sometimes it's really, really painful,
mm-hmm.
you know, to be hit with that, and yet coming through the other side and being grateful for it, because... I'm way better off getting that information, even though it can be painful to receive it.
Yeah.
Gosh, I'm grateful that I received that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it feels like it was done with my best interest,
yes.
done in love.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
in a real...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So being able to experiment, knowing that I'll see whatever I need to see, that care that life has for me, if you will, that love... will be there and,
mm-hmm.
and give me any information that I need. And therefore, I can just kind of do whatever occurs to me in the moment
yeah.
and then
yeah.
get the information.
Yeah.
All right, so, Alex, would you get us the whiteboard? Thank you. I'm intuitively sensing we need a break. So do people feel like you want to stand up and just fluff your aura and stretch for one sec?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Maybe, you know, use the restroom if you really need to, but not if you don't. Feeling plenty warm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we thought we would look at what we want to look at this week. And we've compiled the things that people sent in ahead of time. But maybe we just start with putting it out there and see if those things, yeah? Okay, Catherine.
Well, I have something. Is it okay?
Great.
Okay. Yeah. I I'm now convinced that I can't remember what somebody's going to say, mm-hmm. to the point where they start talking, but you're not going to remember.
Mm-hmm.
So are there tips to remember?
Or tips to remember, yeah, okay.
What people are saying or how we deal with that approach.
Tips to remember, the tagline being surviving the static.
Yes. Yeah, okay.
Dan.
One thing I noticed is that practicing with this group, practicing facilitation with this group, everybody's kind of got a pretty developed practice. So you can just let them go and they make a lot of progress.
You don't even have to reflect in that
When I talk to friends at home who don't practice, uh-huh. I find it much easier to slip into what I'm hearing from the tapes might be called teaching.
Uh-huh.
And I keep hearing on the tapes, you know, don't teach, just facilitate.
Right.
I don't know where that line is. And I would like to discuss that.
Where the line is between reflecting and teaching?
No, I know where reflecting stops.
Okay.
When I get into clarifying and especially drawing out,
okay.
you know, it gets into questions like, I have a really simple, great example, and I've forgotten it. It's things like, if I'm reflecting somebody talking about how they desperately need positive feedback from a supervisor.
Right.
And I ask, I wonder if you could give you positive feedback.
Right.
Is
right.
that teaching? Is that bad?
Right.
Feels good at the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I kind of hear two things in what you're saying. There's a, making transitions in the tools that we're using as facilitators. So as new facilitators, we're using reflective listening.
Right.
And then where's the transition into using some other tools?
Right.
And then where is the line of I'm clarifying, I'm drawing out into, well, now I'm actually teaching is what you were
calling. And actually, what my comment wants to know is where's the line where once I've crossed it, it's bad?
I see.
because there's a difference for me in going, well, now I'm having a discussion, so let's
okay, good. Got it, line between drawing and clarifying versus teaching. And then maybe, I don't know, how would we say that first one? Because that seems like a big one, doesn't it? You know, where are you, so you're reflective listening. Yeah, Dave, do you have a thought about it?
Well, I was going to suggest that we do some drawing and clarifying practice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect, and then within that, kind of looking at when do we start using that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So clarifying and drawing out practice. Tony.
Kind of along those lines that the people that are coming to my key group mm-hmm. are like really brand new. And how they share feels really different than like here or like in my sitting group.
Yeah.
And I finally, you know, even said one point, you know, just whatever you're seeing, feel free to share. We're just, you know, I started saying
a little more. Talking like you're a normal person.
I feel like they don't even really know about, the whole idea of awareness practice.
Right,
they
right.
don't like to look inside themselves. Yeah. They're talking about war and violence.
Yeah.
And
I think this is really, we've really seen this as we've gone along in the, the key group project, that it's such an interesting place. That here are these brand new facilitators in pretty much the highest level of facilitation experience. So I think that's a really good one. So facilitating people who are brand new to practice.
Yeah.
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 We should flip flop, huh?
Well, I'm really interested in this topic that's come up about facilitation as a way of life. It's really ourselves and becoming. So make sure we
facilitation is a way of life. It's a nice way to put it. What else? What's Marie?
I can't quite get this into words, but it's something about being the person in your area that's really the totally responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, kind of for how the practice gets represented.
Yeah.
And I don't know if maybe that's for this retreat, but it would feel good to me if at some point kind of the pitfalls of leadership or you know,
mm-hmm. yeah.
what to look out for.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, well, there's really, again, there's two really good topics in what you said. So the pitfalls of leadership mm-hmm. Or just leadership. I mean, it wouldn't necessarily be the pitfalls, would it? It would just be, you know.
What are the big no-nos that you could go off on that would really not be good for the practice
right.
in your area?
Yeah, and what are the ways to step into that?
Right.
You know? And then the other one was representing practice, which I think you're talking about representing practice at a certain level, but I mean, that's a huge topic because everyone in this room is representing or is going to be representing practice.
Yeah, and one of the things I appreciate so much about this practice is what I project, the willingness Sherry had to really stand for it in such a big way, even when she had to say things that nobody was happy with.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I just feel like that's so important to somehow to really keep that in mind and preserve the practice.
I think that's right on. And that, I mean, it's really a lifetime project as far as I can tell, but that every discussion we have about it, you know, someone says something new that, at least for me, I'd never considered. You know, that's really, and it just feels like it's building this foundation for us to stand on. You know, not rules to learn, but just having that, being in that conversation allows us to see deeper into what it is that we're representing and how to go about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good. Tracy.
Practice and time to practice centering exercises. And possibly, you know, maybe even breaking into groups and kind of coming up with some new centering exercises.
Okay. So practicing, like, how to deliver?
How to deliver.
And is that kind of guided imageries in general, or is that in particular practicing how to deliver centering exercises?
Maybe both. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just find myself really conscious of, you know, listening to the one this morning, you know, like, kind of, I was actually counting the breaths and the pauses that you stopped, and when I'm doing it, I guess, you know, maybe the guidance could be just record it and kind of see how it sounds to yourself, but when I'm doing it, it always feels like it's, you know, works for me, but then you never know,
how do you know,
for maybe one person it's too long, and maybe one person it's too short, or just getting maybe even having an opportunity to get some feedback, you know, look at that pause is too long,
And then also maybe creating some more centering exercises.
Yes.
Because how does it work now that you begin each, you have four, and you just rotate through them? Mm-hmm. Okay.
And we have one for the end.
One for the end. Ramita.
Wanted to add on there the comment made earlier about attention moving in the field of awareness in the context of group.
Oh, yeah, great. Okay. Squid.
Pre and post facilitation.
That's your own big question. It's like King's X, right? You should have to be safe for that time, but yeah. Pre and post. Penny.
Monitoring group energy. Mm-hmm. That's where you stay attuned to group energy.
Uh-huh.
And what you do if it seems to be flagging or.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. So a little bit related, but more direct than the attention, the field of awareness during group. But yeah, really how to monitor the group energy, maybe what to look for, how. Again, when we were just talking about that with Marie, what I saw was, of course, with all of this, you know, we're never going to come up with answers to it, but the discussion itself is the thing that provides us with kind of material to be, places to look, essentially. Yeah. Linda?
Well, I was adding on to the preview review, how to work with recordings of our facilitation.
Okay. Yeah, how to work with the recordings. Okay. David?
Yeah, adding on to the group energy type feel. Kind of ways to support oneself such that the group energy doesn't feel like a therapy session for one particular person.
Uh-huh.
You know, sometimes it's like when somebody comes in with something, you know, fair game, but then how to
extricate.
Yeah, how
to. Sorry, was that too direct?
Yeah, bring it back into the sense of what.
Yeah, that's what really. That's really good. That's exactly what that's pointing at, is how to, yes, you know, you're facilitating this one person, and it is in the context of a group, and so how to have that fit.
Yeah, especially when there's a lot of emotion involved, you know, when somebody's really crawling it out and stuff, and there's, it seems like there must be some kind of a middle space for all that, to not, like, you know, try and stop that.
Right.
But then at the same time, to not have kind of some private, you know.
Yeah, especially in that recognizing that what you as a facilitator see is not always obvious to everyone else in the group. Mm-hmm. And so you don't want to lose the group by cutting someone off in a situation where, you know, it's clear to you that the interaction is done and they're perfectly adequate to being with the emotion that's still there for them. And, you know, yeah, there's a lot of interesting things to look at in that.
Yeah, and it's like kind of almost on the other side of that, but maybe not. But also another thing that has come up for me that I really want to have a look at on this retreat is how to facilitate when somebody is very long-winded and not super aware that they're just kind of going, you know, every direction and have a huge story about every little thing in the universe.
So there's not a whole lot of facilitation happening. There's mostly just talking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Apart from where it's kind of like trying to jump in and rest it back.
Right.
So what is that?
Yeah. Again, how to skillfully kind of work with that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I heard several different things in that. Mm-hmm. You know, like there's, you know, making sure that there's equal amounts of time for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, for the energy. And so
you're wondering, is does monitoring group energy kind of set all of it,
all
or do
it,
we have the point?
As you know, it covers the energy vampire codes.
Well, let's, David, when we get to that topic, you know, and this is for everyone, if we forget to cover a specific point in it, bring it up again. Make sure it ends up as part of the conversation.
Sure, yeah, will do.
Okay. Lori?
On the other side of that, I noticed sometimes in our group, which is actually a sitting group, and they were doing the key, that there's long silences. I mean, people have been in the practice for a really long time, and often kind of like there's nothing that comes up. And so Chris and I kind of talk about, well, you know, do we call on people? Mm-hmm. Do we invite people? Mm-hmm. You know, apart from saying, is there anything else? Does anybody have anything to say? You know, how to invite it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe just some parentheses around that. Long silences. What just came up for one of David's was working with strong emotion. In the name of one of Sherry's sequences. I mean, that's not quite it, but, you know, yeah. Michael, did I see your hand?
Yeah, this might be a little bit vague. Thinking about, and this has come up on some of our calls, about our commitments to the facilitator program.
Yeah.
And if it would be helpful to have some kind of requirements in some sense. Mm-hmm. And
so kind of that sounds almost like, are you talking about it on a business level? Like, okay, we are committing to dot, 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 and dot? Or is it more
if you want to be a monastery facilitator, you need to come to one retreat a year, come to a facilitator every other year, be on 3/4 of the calls.
It kind of
reminds me, I'm thinking about like a career change, and there's like a, you know, like a certification or certain kind of rules and like continuing education.
Yep. Okay.
Which potentially I think could be really helpful.
Yeah, very. Yep.
And kind of along with that, kind of distinctions between key groups and the regular groups.
Key groups and sitting groups?
Yeah, because I could imagine almost something like a, you know, you're a facilitator in training, and I don't know if that's published or something, but the monastery knows, and then there are maybe certified facilitators or whatever.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Dan,
do you need to plug for things we sent in, or is that? Okay, so I'd like to plug for one that I sent in, which is, and it might fit into facilitating as a way of life, but looking at facilitation and how it relates to parenting or teaching children.
Okay, yeah. So a little bit what Lori was talking about earlier. So I'm learning to facilitate, and how does that overlap into other areas of my life?
Yeah, because the roles are distinct, but not totally separate.
Yeah, because one of the things we could talk about in there is it's one thing to bring the spirit of how I am in facilitation. It's another thing to start bringing in the content of particular things.
So the tagline for this one could be that in my work, I find myself punishing people into better performance all the time.
I see.
Not really consistent with what I'm trying to do here.
Right, got it. Okay, good. Did you get that?
Relating to parenting and teaching.
Okay. Good. Karen?
Well, one of the things I know that I need to do in my key group is I'm having some privileged environment problems.
Okay.
So like, because it's friends, mm-hmm. and last week, going out the door, the two people were talking about a card game they were going to have while I was gone here. And I mean, it was, so stuff like that that's mm-hmm. happening, and I didn't really know what to do because, but the group was over, and I just mm-hmm. thought, well, that would be something to maybe address in the yeah. group and kind of, is there a place to re-review all of that throughout yeah. the British environment?
Okay,
so
good.
There's Everybody. That.
Okay.
And the other thing would be there's the different language that's used in the key group from the people that I'm facilitating, or from one of the people, I would say, who is a long-time meditator that just was practicing somewhere else and has a whole different language, okay. and am I supposed to, like, learn what that is? Like, when he talks about absolute, in an absolute sense and a relative sense, mm-hmm. and Kensho experiences and mm-hmm. all this stuff, and I'm like, okay, what should we do with that?
Yeah, Helissi, how would we say that? Anyone have a succinct so that we can remember what you're pointing at? Dave?
Working with someone else's bizarre language.
People are new to practice.
Or new to this practice. New to this practice. Yeah. And again, Karen, you'll have to make sure when we get to that point that you, if we don't specifically say it, bring it back up because we forget that that's a piece of it. Yeah. Lynette?
Yeah, I part of me feels like we had this discussion. My group has asked me if I'm ever going to give them my opinion.
So you just haven't trained them well. Day four of TNW, people look at us, they'll ask a question, they go, I know, you're not going to tell me.
So, but I thought we talked about maybe talking about that we are facilitating. Did we have that?
Even if we have, I mean, we have the same discussion over and over. That's really all we're doing. So let's talk about it again. So
it's essentially talking about facilitation to facilitate to that they're being facilitated.
Yeah. So kind of like giving them the deal that they know, so that you're not constantly in a position of having to, you know, sort of mysteriously ward off giving your opinion. But it's just part, it's just the deal. And they just know it, and there's nothing weird about it, it's just how it is.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
the booklet, orienting people to the groups
or something?
Yeah.
Giving them the inside scoop. Okay. Tracy.
Just to piggyback on what was being said, something around, like, when someone has experience with, like, Buddhism in another realm, mm-hmm. and they bring that
another realm.
And so, in the
and they
reading,
what was that next
they part? Bring that kind of condition, like, conditioned mind trying to understand Buddhism uh-huh. into the group.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, doing a reading and going, well, I don't get what, you know, Sherry's trying to say here, and, you know, I went to a blah, blah, blah thing, and they talked more about da, 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 and, mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's that place it feels like you can sense that it's coming from conditioned mind trying to get something or understand something.
Yeah.
And, but so I don't know if that falls into difficult facilitation or...
Oh, that would be fun to hit again, wouldn't it? Yeah. Yeah, it's so interesting. It's what so many people are saying. I'm just seeing how such an interesting topic to look at. Orienting people to the environment and so that they really know what it is and what it isn't. And then you as a facilitator have a ground to stand on to say, that is a fascinating question and not really what we're doing. Jan.
You know, I think it's up there a couple times in different ways, but just to make sure that the facilitating ourselves, that was so rich last time.
Yeah.
And, you know, facilitation as a way of life, I imagine it comes under that. But
yeah, we could put it in parentheses up there.
Just the sharing of that, what people have found.
Yeah, facilitating yourself. Okay. Marie.
I wonder if we could just keep touching back in on, you know, what's coming up for us around being here in facilitation, in the facilitation training, just to kind of keep that aligned.
And do you mean kind of in the way we did this morning? Like, okay, so we had a chance to practice, now what came up when you were, is that what you mean?
Yeah, or just however.
Okay.
But just so that that piece is kind of somehow interwoven.
Yeah, the piece of checking in, what comes up for me as a, when I facilitate, as a facilitator.
Well, yeah, and also just the stuff about being at the monastery and the training and you know, what keeps us from being here, to keep checking in on...
What keeps not physically being here, you're saying, but...
Like what resistance comes up or that kind of thing.
Okay.
To have some kind of thing woven in, some kind of little nugget of something where there's a little space to look at that, just to...
Real-time check-in.
Yeah, instead of just being with it by yourself.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that's a good place to say, like we always say on other retreats, it's always appropriate to expel self-hatred. Because it's so not helpful to sit there back with it alone, with it just having its way. But yeah, but that would hopefully all week long be fair game, be a part of the deal that, you know, I'm back here stuck with self-hatred and just want to get it out there.
Yeah. Great.
Good. David.
Yeah, I don't know if this retreat necessarily is appropriate for what I'm about to ask, but it seems like at one point pretty early on we had talked about kind of recording our key groups and our whatever the groups and stuff.
Yeah.
And one thing that I've noticed is that the weekly conference calls are super, super helpful. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, like I remember when the letter came out of what we might look at and the sins of facilitation came up, I remember being like, check, you know, having this like complete meltdown of like it almost talked me out of coming, in the sense that, you know, I have a sense that, you know, as I go along, you know, part of being confident coming out of the shell and kind of learning to facilitate, that's great.
Yeah.
But on the one hand, if I'm all on my own with no checks and balances,
how will I ever know?
Yeah,
yeah.
Oh, I know I'm doing it wrong. Yeah. You know, no, so I mean, I don't know if there's a it's obviously a lot more work for the monks, but if there be a way to kind of send in, you know, I don't know, like once a month or whatever it may look like.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's room for a small discussion on that or something.
It seems crucial, doesn't it? Because it's back to what I project what you're saying is what Rebecca was talking about earlier, is wanting that information.
Yeah.
You know, wanting, you know, to be able to get the feedback. Yeah. So is there a way, you know, some creative way we can think of that works for everyone, that we can provide that for folks who are out there facilitating? And, you know, again, it's a funny kind of a paradox, because those of us who are here at the monastery, there's always chance for feedback. I mean, we're all facilitating in front of each other all the time, but then brand new facilitators are out there without that same luxury. So
exactly, and there's no, like, the people who I have the opportunity to facilitate,
don't know.
Have any idea? I mean, like, in that sense. So you know, there is no sense of like.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that would just be super. And as you said, it really is helpful. So, you know, I see all the sins. I go through this huge meltdown.
Yeah.
But then I come out the other end of it, and it's like, aha.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I get it.
Yeah.
You know that. Yeah. And all of a sudden.
Yeah.
The next step.
Yeah. And you know, just as an aside, so unkind, because obviously, you know, it sounds like what you want to do is you want to be the most skillful facilitator you can be.
Mm-hmm.
And so if there are things that you're doing that aren't helpful, you know, you want that information.
Yeah.
And then when you see the sins, which you don't even know if they are sins or not, it's just something someone put in, right? What conditioning wants to do is beat me that I've done those things.
Right.
You know.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, as if I set out to, you know, wreck people's lives.
My goal today was to You thought this was going to be therapy.
All right, let's see. Penny.
Well, something just came up for me, and it woven into all of this, but just how every step we take, what conditioning must do is strand us there.
Mm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
To make it, all of a sudden we're out on a pinnacle and it's really scary and we're all alone. And how we maintain a mentoring relationship with ourselves and with maybe the monastery and with practice, how we stay mentored as we take scary new steps.
How to stay mentored as we take scary new steps. That's good.
Want to put that here too? Next to the facilitation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's that, and then kind of sounds like kind of even a step bigger in, yeah. some, in the sense of also staying on the team.
Staying on the team, and it's related to the sending in the tapes, or yeah. you know, how do we make sure that there's yeah. someone kind mentoring us internally yeah. and externally
yeah.
that enables us then to take those steps where conditions just going to try to leave us out there in the cold right. wind.
Try to talk us time. Into, you know, being off by ourselves. Yeah, not yeah. wanting the information, and then right. maybe doing something that's unskillful, and then getting really hit by the, yeah.
Well, I'm thinking that these steps we're asked to take are risky.
Yes.
And yeah. and it's okay to take them if you feel like you've got support on you, but yeah. if you feel like you're just out there stranded,
yeah.
which is always what conditioning is trying right. to do with every step, yeah. how we just address that, because it feels like what we're being asked all the time is to take that next step,
right.
whatever it is.
Right, yep. Yeah, Michael.
This feels related to that, and it's more of a comment. And that is that I find the weekly calls just incredibly helpful and supportive.
Yeah.
Just ground, just from like a being centered kind of.
Yeah.
You know, the topic happens to be facilitation, but the
right.
the energy or the structure or
just showing up
the
for
people
that hour.
Just showing up is yeah. just really wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. A recommitment to the weekly calls.
yeah.
Dan.
Yeah, talking a lot, but now's the time. So. This feels to me more like something I should do on my own through email, but I want to put it out there in case I'm wrong about that, and there's a lot of energy around it, which is I have a whole mix of conditioning and logistics getting in the way of my starting the group.
Okay.
And I need help with that.
All right.
Sometime.
Okay. What stops me from starting a group? Or it could be, I mean, I suppose the topic could be what stops me. It could be from advertising my group, from, you know,
well, it's funny because it goes into the how to stay mentored as you go into a new scary step, but I also feel like, well, no, I guess that's what the mentoring is what of these perceived problems getting in my way, which ones are kind of real that I need help thinking about how to get around, and which
yeah.
ones are just my conditioning
yeah.
so that I can't work.
Yeah, well, this is an interesting retreat in that, like any retreat, we're focused on process,
yeah.
and yet there's a fair amount of content we're going to be looking at on a business level, mm-hmm. and also on a, you know, we're all out there doing the same thing, the same content, really. We're starting groups, and so what comes up for me, and, you know, what I run up against and how I, you know, some things that were helpful to me would be really relevant to the whole group, maybe.
I've been listening to the tapes, and I'm sort of hoping to hear each and every story about what got in the way and how you got through it. I didn't hear that, so...
Yeah. Okay, great. Lori?
I just had a question about the sense of facilitation, because I don't think I got... Was this actually something written like that?
I think what it was, what David's referring to, is that we had solicited, what do people want to look at? In this week,
uh-huh.
and then people wrote back, and then that went back out to everyone. And in those, in that, someone had written the sins of facilitation, and then kind of listed some things.
Oh, I don't know if I got that. Okay,
I mean, that was sent back out to everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Mickey.
I don't know, when you brought up, you know, that we'll be doing some business, I didn't know if we wanted to put on our list just
yeah.
kind of nuts and bolts. And
well, I thought we might defer to Dave when we get everything out on the table and see what we missed. I think you've got a lot of the business points, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Right. We might actually do that. Have the small whiteboard be the business agenda item? What do you think about it?
Sure. I mean, there's actually...
Very little space left here.
Yeah, for particulars like that, there, I won't say a lot of space. There's not that
okay.
many in number. I think okay. there's some, it's many in time and energy. But
so should we, maybe we should just put up here business items.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. And do you feel like in particular we need to look at what those are right now, or just?
I can tell you what's on my mind.
Okay.
We got to finish the donation document.
Right.
Which is quick. I think we put a lot of work in that already.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a document going to talk to, that tells people about that it's a facilitated discussion.
Oh, good. So that would address a lot of the things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think a lot of this will address a lot of it, actually. It's good.
Jan didn't hear. So that was the piece about, well, do you want to say more about what that is, Dave?
It's something we just started working on. I haven't worked on it all that much. It's just about something to give to people when they come to the groups that explains how the structure works.
Oh.
And explains how what facilitation is all about, so they have some kind of leg up before they're actually put in the situation.
And that it gives the facilitators a place to stand.
Exactly.
Gives them
yeah.
something to refer to. Yeah.
There's also a project we have not started on, which is something I think would be good, which is guidelines for facilitators.
Oh, yeah, that's great.
We have a really old document from years and years and years ago as a starting place. Mm-hmm. And just, you know, because that brings in, because then we start to bring in the accountability and
representing practice.
And, Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. There's other things along the lines of what Michael was saying about, you know, I do think we need to talk about what the requirements are, what the expectations are, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Actually, no, I'm saying there are quite a number I can see. But another big one is, pretty big one, sort of expanding the program. Mm-hmm. You know, a number of people had suggested, wrote in about, could we have workshops that we could do? Like that, mentoring kind of things. So that's one area of it. Another one is expanding the groups. You know, people have used up all their friends and family. how do we do that? Like other people talk about, right? What's the distinction between a key group and not a key group? Mm-hmm. How do we get the word out? What's appropriate? What are we looking for? Do we need different flyers for the different situations? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, we're in the kind of the middle of that conversation on our facilitative calls.
Right. It's true, there are a lot of pieces, but what's interesting is that it really weaves all of this into it, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. It's almost like looking at those items will bring up these.
You know. Yeah, and I was, as people were talking, I was looking at that, and I was wondering if it might be interesting to maybe start off not on a business level so much, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. but start off on, like, it'd be fun to, like, because I think we could kind of break it up into chunks, like facilitation techniques, which could bring in all facilitating new people, mm-hmm. you know, we could do a group on that, mm-hmm. and, you know, kind of do all this kind of stuff, and then that, I think, would give us really sort of the big picture, and then maybe then we could look at, okay, what kind of underpinning do we need to support what we have found, and what kind of what kind of guidelines do we need, what kind of structures, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, especially if we all, as we have those broader discussions, if we all have an ear out for, I don't know, little pieces of guidelines that and that kind of thing that come out of those discussions, because I think that's what will happen, mm-hmm. is that we have those larger discussions, and then we come back to the particular business points, and we realize, oh, we now have all the points about what, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. how facilitative discussion works.
Yeah, and I don't, for myself, and this might be just me, but I don't feel, it doesn't feel critically important that we resolve a lot of those business things here, because we continue with those on the call.
Yeah.
On the call. I think it's good to, I like to have them to be a part of what we do, because, you know, like last time, when we got done with our retreat, I mean, I felt like we had a tremendous breakthrough, which resulted in the program that we're doing now. Mm-hmm. And I think this is probably the format for kind of where are we going with this, and what do we see, and what kind of, you know, like that. So because like a sort of a visioning part of it, so we know kind of what we want to do in the time between now and the next time we get together.
That's the best use of our time together, is that it's much easier to kind of get the big picture and vision together and have a group process when we're all here in person than it is on the telephone. Much easier to do the actual business points when we're on the telephone together.
Yeah, and we might be able to do a lot of both, but just to have a sense of what are we all about and where are we headed and stuff, I think could be really, really helpful.
Tracy?
Just in the lines of, like, where are we headed, and I guess this piggybacks on the transitions, is just being able to take some guided steps as a facilitator into kind of where we're going. Mm-hmm. And so some things that kind of came to mind were, you know, I know there's exercises in the book, you know, do we want to maybe start thinking about doing that? And, you know, I know that, I don't know if this falls into the whole teaching, but, you know, a lot in group, you know, Sherry or the monks talk, like tell Zen story to kind of get something across. And one time when I was sitting on the cushion, just this story came to mind and I actually did say it, and it felt, you know, it's like what occurred, and it felt kind, and then there's the dialogue of, am I allowed to do that, and am I supposed to do that, and if we can do that, what's the platform, are there like certain stories that we want to have, you know, so just like, just really being guided into what our, the transition steps can be.
So let's see.
Point two.
Yeah, well, we were talking about that a little bit higher up, weren't we? Yeah, the transition between the two places. Line between them. Yeah, clarifying, drawing out practice. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Good. Good.
Got a number of other things, either from things that came up in our conversation or things people sent in.
Okay.
Would that be a good time?
Sure. Perfect.
And I think we need to look at what do you do if there's just one or two people there with you in your group.
Mm. Okay. Small groups.
There was a thing that you guys were talking about, the facilitating versus public speaking and that kind of thing. You want to talk about that?
Okay.
That's up here, right?
Can you say more about that, Dave? Facilitating versus public speaking?
You guys, there was a part of the conversation earlier this morning.
Uh-huh.
About
how someone else was talking about, I don't know how it came up. In our small group, one of the ways it came up was, you know, I feel comfortable facilitating in this situation, but not this one for some reason.
Yeah, it's like the beliefs.
Why is, the beliefs behind the, how would we succinctly say that?
Who's facilitating?
Who's facilitating? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That broadens it nicely out, doesn't it? Dave, were there others?
Yeah. So these are things that people sent in. Most of what people sent in has been covered already, and
okay.
So I'm not going to mention those, but just a couple. And first one sort of has. It's what would we like to practice being a facilitator all the time?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of facilitation as
that's
a way of life.
Yeah.
This one, I think, would be is interesting, is what keeps us feeling separate from the group?
Mm-hmm. The group of facilitators? Or
They could be either, right?
Both.
It could be either one. But the thing that's really interesting to me is what keeps us separate from the group of facilitating?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. What keeps us separate from the group?
Jen, under who's facilitating, it could be different formats as well, the one we hit just before this one. That's what I was hearing.
Say that again, Jan.
Who's facilitating one before? To me, that was different formats. Like you said, public speaking and
different formats. Okay. So who's facilitating in parentheses different formats?
Yeah.
Okay. Melinda had one.
I just wanted to make sure that the being separate from the group of facilitators is an important piece of that one. I think there was a big conversation in a facilitator call about that recently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
just put down group.
Just so it doesn't get lost.
Okay. Yeah. Does it feel like that says it? What keeps us separate from the group, and then we'll know that that's both the group you're facilitating as well as the group of facilitators.
Sure.
Okay. Marie?
I will come into that because one of the things that just occurred to me as we went down all this list and as we talk about all these topics when you're not here, how is that? You know, like if I wasn't here and I knew all this was being talked about, I would feel so much like I was missing such an important conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it is all being recorded. And I think, I don't know. I don't think we're going to, I don't know, maybe we are. Make people transcribe. But we are going to, I think without a too terrible ton of effort, we can get them the recordings. So,
That brings up, I actually was going to say this and then I thought better, but I don't know, maybe maybe we can all be mindful to speak loud, as
clearly.
It makes a ton
and
of
slowly.
Difference, even if you're not transcribing, which, you know, that makes a ton of difference.
That's
but
a good point.
Yeah,
yeah,
we can just be mindful of that.
Yeah, we're speaking to the recorder as well. Dave?
You know, that's an excellent point, and I wonder if Alex would be willing to give a listen to how we're doing so far.
Okay.
Because we have some other choices that involve more work, where we can increase the quality and just make sure we don't need to be doing that.
Okay.
Yes, I listened to one last night just a little bit. It with only just a little bit of tweaking, I think I could get it so that it's pretty darn great. So.
Okay.
But I'll listen to it again. I'll listen to this one as well.
Okay. All right. Good. Dave, were there more things?
Yeah, just a few more. This one is basically, how do you maintain a safe place for sharing?
Okay.
In your group, especially when there's nobody else around to model that.
So is that kind of part of the privilege environment issues?
Privilege environment, okay.
How to maintain a safe space?
We got dealing with self-hate up there.
It's pre and post.
Pre and post, okay.
All right, then we've got this is actually a piece of business. Somebody it's an interesting conversation of somebody's having a physical problem in the group. So I'll put that in the business list. That covers everything that I'm aware of that people sent in.
Okay, great. Well, that's really good timing. Michael, were you just looking at your watch? Okay. You were putting your hands up. Someone over here? Oh, yeah, Amy. It's like you blend right in. Everyone's blue over there.
Sulfate was just brought up, and along with pre and post, if we could add during.
The whole enchilada. Good. All right, good. Well, that's an excellent stopping place, so just in time. And any announcements? Anything like that?
I haven't done the scheduling. We have the afternoon schedule. We can tell folks. Not sure what that.
Yeah, we'll just post it.
Okay.
Schedule will be posted.
Shortly.
Lunch very soon, 12:30 ish. Penny, did you have something? Or
I was just going to ask about the afternoon schedule.
Okay. Thank you very much.